Welcome back to the Quiet Mind Astrology Podcast. My name is Jeremy Devins, and today I'll be talking about Jupiter being combust for the next month, what that means whenever that happens, how you can best work with it, as well as the other transits happening this week. And there's still time to access the free Become Your Own Astrologer workshop right now at quietmindastrology.com. You can see the whole thing for free. Last week was really awesome. We had an amazing group and a lot of great shares. Like, it was really cool to see how much people were open and vulnerable with each other and sharing and connecting and learning fast. And that's the cool thing about astrology, is that it seems like it's so deep and so dense and so difficult to learn. But when you know what to do, you can actually learn pretty quick. And I've seen incredible results in my mentorship program of people being able to read charts accurately, make accurate predictions, and it's so validating, so transformational, so powerful for the people who receive those readings and interpretations, both clients and for the individuals who are learning the astrology. So it's really cool to see that. And I share that in the free workshop of like how people have gone through that transformation working with me and how you can too if you want to work with me, because the enrollment is open for this week only for the Vedic Astrology Mentorship. This is my most in-depth, step-by-step program to teach you how to learn astrology in depth, how to give incredibly accurate predictions, and give transformational readings for yourself and others. So all the things, all the best of everything I've learned in my 17 plus years and looking at thousands of charts, it's all distilled into this one resource. So whenever you want to learn something about astrology, the main stuff, all the essential things are in there. And then there are like some very deep esoteric things. There's a lot of depth to astrology. And there's a lot of things that you kind of get lost in tangents of like, well, what about this deeper divisional chart and this aspect here? Like sometimes that stuff just gets off track and you can go like really into your head and overthink things. And I like to stay in touch with your intuition and what are the actual essential things that you really need to make accurate predictions. And there are a lot, but it's also very simple and easy to organize and easy to understand in what I've taught in the Vedic Astrology Mentorship and what I'll be teaching over the next 4 months. And you get lifetime access. So a lot of people come through multiple times. You can get certified the first time or future times. It's all there inside of the program, and you get access to all the future live calls too. So it's not just like a one-time course, it's like a lifetime mentorship and support for your astrology studies. So you can come back in time in the future as often as you'd like. And it's there for you. And it grows with you and it continues to grow and evolve with everybody in the program. Got amazing people from around the world in that program. So it's a real honor for me to get to create that and share that with you. And that's all at quietmindastrology.com/mentorship, where you can learn all about that. And on that same page, you can see the free Become Your Own Astrologer workshop as well. So today I want to talk about Jupiter being combust. What does that mean? And as I talked about in the free workshop, Jupiter, we start by looking at what is it? When we look at it and observe it in space, like NASA would talk about it, what is it? What does it do? Well, it is called a failed star. So it didn't quite have the elements to be a star itself, but it is very, very big. And it is the largest planet in our solar system. And it has a strong gravitational pull around it, much like our sun does. And because of that gravitational pull, Jupiter pulls in a lot of stuff in space, a lot of asteroids that might eventually hit Earth and might be catastrophic to our planet Earth, if not for Jupiter's orbit that pulls them off course and avoids them hitting us. So Jupiter is pulling stuff into its orbit all the time that is protecting us. So all this stuff is just the actual NASA science of what it is. And that is a great place to start of understanding what it is metaphorically, symbolically, astrologically. So Jupiter represents where there is protection for you in your life, where you are protective of others. Where there is this strong energy of holding things, of gathering things like knowledge, wisdom, understanding. We think of like a big planet as it's very large, it's bigger than us. And wisdom is like that. It's vast. Knowledge is like that. Teachers are like that. They're sort of bigger than us and teaching us things so we can grow as well. And I've been having this sort of profound perspective recently of noticing how much life is just like all about learning. And we go to school, and our whole lives are set up to spend a lot of time in school and then go out into the world. And I think a lot of people forget about learning at that point and stop learning and just like go about having a job and a family. But I think there is something to say about learning is kind of what keeps us young and keeps us interested and curious and engaged. And to learn, we need teachers, and Jupiter represents the teacher. So wherever Jupiter is in your chart, that shows what kind of teachers you would be attracted to, what kind of teacher you might be. And now we take all the energy of Jupiter, which in Sanskrit is guru, the one who brings light into the darkness, the one who understands the polarity and dance of light and darkness. And we bring it into the big burning ball of fire of our solar system, of the soul, SOL, the Latin word for our sun. And when we see that from our perspective on Earth, that Jupiter and the sun are in the same part of the sky, the light of Jupiter is blocked out by the light of the sun. Like we can't see it as clearly. So the sunlight overpowers it. Just from our perspective here on Earth, which is what everything in astrology is based on, our subjective experience of the universe as humans, as individuals, as a planet. But Jupiter, the guru, is now blocked out by Sun, Surya, the center of the solar system, the SOL, the soul, this big ball of fire and energy and power. And then when we're looking at what we're talking about here is Jyotish, is the science of light, the study of understanding the universe and light. And we could argue that what we are made of is light, and what everything in the universe is made of is light. And the food we eat even comes with prana, life force energy, because of the sunlight and the sun allowing the plants to grow and the vegetables to grow and the fruits to grow. And that's what we eat. So it's like we are sun, we eat sun, we survive from the sun. The sun gives us life force, gives us vitality, gives us power. And from that power is the ability to create, as our creative energy. And everything revolves around that center. And we all look to that, and it guides us and it illuminates the path for us. Opposite of that is the moon, which is we have the lunar energy at night, which represents the feminine principle and the female energy and the mother energy. The sun represents the masculine principle, the father energy. So when the sun energy is really strong, we have a strong connection to our ability to lead, to manage, and to organize energy around a unit, like a family, like a solar system, like a career path. And we all have both the masculine and feminine, the sun, the moon, in our charts, in our essence, and neither is better or worse than the other, but the sun represents more of those paternal masculine energies. So what does it mean now when we bring these things together? And that is where we start, just looking at the astronomy of it, what NASA would say about the sun and Jupiter. And when you bring these two energies together in our study of astrology, what does that mean? Okay, so the light of Jupiter is blocked out by the light of the sun. So our wisdom, our clarity, our expansion, our growth, our optimism, these Jupiter qualities is overshadowed by the sun qualities. Creativity, authority, leadership, power. And at its worst, I haven't really talked about the negative side of things yet. The sun can be the ego, it can be attachment to form, it can be controlling, it can be using power in a way that's abusive to others. So when the sun energy is more dominant and it's combust with another planet, it's often some of these more negative qualities can start to come out. Now, because you're listening to this podcast and you have self-awareness, and you probably do practices to increase your self-awareness, like meditation and yoga and things like this, you can be aware of this thing. And we can talk about these negative, challenging energies with the potential for how they can help us grow and how they can help us understand ourselves better and our patterns. And we might start to see in ourselves where we might be controlling. where we might be attached to growth and wanting to grow and have things a certain way, but then they kind of burn up and they don't exactly work that way. Because Jupiter, when it's not so close to the sun, it's just growing and growth and expansion, and it represents positive growth. But with the sun energy now, our ego gets involved, and our ego sees that growth and says, I want more of that. And I love growth, and I want this expansion. I want more money, more resources, more power, more creativity, more vitality, more youthfulness, all these sun energies. And the ego, of course, is attached to form and likely going to lead us to suffering. And the more we are attached to things, the more likely we are to suffer when they change, because everything changes. Everything is impermanent. And we forget that sometimes. And the Jupiter energy reminds us to grow, but it also reminds us to contract. Just like we inhale and expand the lungs, and we exhale and the lungs go back in, gently contracting. We need both. The heart pulses in this way, contracts and relax. And if we don't have that pulse, if we don't have that breath, we don't have life. And the ego thinks that life is just about growth and having and controlling an identity and attachment to forms. And we can get lost in the Maya, the illusion of all of that, and forget the wisdom, the truth, the Jupiter, the guru, that we need both light and dark. We need both contraction and expansion. Just like Jupiter goes retrograde every year to represent this time for more contraction. Currently, Jupiter is going direct. Everything's still going direct for a little longer. And you may have felt that through the beginning of this year, 2023, and this all this expansive energy and a lot of this possibility and growth and potential. But there's still challenges, and there's still all these things we've been talking about with the revolutionary energies with Pluto and Capricorn, of the technological breakthroughs with Saturn and Aquarius, and the implications on that on the economy and the job market, and potential restrictions in those areas and limitations around economy and finances and jobs. At the same time, there is huge potential. And I always try to focus on what is the positive possibility here? What is the positive potential of all this energy? How can we work with this rather than have this work against us and ride these waves rather than be drowning in these waves that are coming through? Because there's always waves, right? I moved near the ocean last year and get to go to the beach almost every day now and just watch the waves. And sometimes they're really intense, sometimes they're really calm, but they are always very strong. If I go stand in the ocean, it can very easily just take over and have me. And like I just could easily, it's very easy to drown in the ocean because the power of the tides and the undercurrents are so strong in that water energy. And these shifts of the planets, the shifts of the universe are like that. They're way more powerful than us individual humans and way bigger than us. And we are subject to them. Just like standing in the water in the ocean, you're subject to those waves and you've got to adapt with them. And we think here on the land that we don't really feel that and we don't really have that. And we forget about it. Until, like, you go out and try to have a picnic on a windy day and your food gets blown away. And you remember how much we are at effect to nature and to the universe. Or you stand in the ocean, you remember how much we are at effect to nature and the universe. But when you start to create a career or start to have a family or have your own will and way of trying to do things, you forget that we are always at the will and effect of the universe. But these transits come around to remind us. This transit of Jupiter being combust for the next month comes around to remind us that there is something bigger at play. And we are not in control as much as we would like to think we are. We are at best in service to what wants to come through us, in service to the universal energy of life force moving through us. And nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. You know, I talk about these things, I teach about these things. first and foremost to myself, to remind myself to learn these things. Like these are the things I was looking up all the time on my own, trying to apply astrology to my life. And now I just hit record and talk about all those things that I've researched and found, and hopefully they're helpful to you as well. So I'm not perfect, and I'm not suggesting anybody is or can be really. Like, we're all going to fall, we're all going to make mistakes, we're all going to find ways that we become attached, and then the universe will come back to remind us and humble us and remind us to slow down or remind us to speed up sometimes when we need to, or to go outside our comfort zone. And that is one of the big opportunities of this transit. So again, it's starting Monday, March 27th, and goes for a month until around April 26th, where Jupiter is combust. And this is an opportunity to go outside of your comfort zone to find what brings you vitality and energy. Because this could be a challenging placement, and people could really focus on some negative things here. Like, it could feel harder to feel hopeful and optimistic. That is a potential of this energy. But the hope and optimism is a byproduct of how we are choosing to engage with our lives and choosing to focus on certain things in our lives. Right? Like, if you go try something new and then you have a positive experience, or you realize you can do something. Like, for example, I love doing improv comedy, and every time it's like risky and scary and uncertain, and you don't know like what's going to come out of your mouth, and it can feel really vulnerable and scary. And then you do it, and I've had this experience where I do it and I say something and I feel like an idiot, and my hope goes down a little bit, my optimism goes down a little bit. But then I see someone else do it and my hope goes up a little. I see someone else like just jump on stage and just say something hilarious or spontaneous. And the goal in that work is not to try to be funny, but just to be present and just speak from presence. And that ends up being really funny. But that's the kind of fun thing about it. But then I see someone else do it and it brings more hope and optimism to me. And I try again. And I might fail again and feel dumb or foolish or judge myself or whatever, or not have anything to say. And sometimes that's like actually really funny too. Like just the actual embracing of that awkwardness and that uncertainty and that vulnerability is actually like, that is really funny too, because that's truth and like reality. And the truth is funny. And that is a big part of what makes improv comedy. Like, it's like we tried, actually, it's one of the trainings I did. We would do improv drama, and you can do that too. But it often is just like always on this edge of comedy, just because of the nature of like being present and spontaneous and like not overthinking it and just going with the flow. It feels really good. It feels really funny. It's like it lights you up. It brings vitality and joy and expansion. Even when we might have these times of feeling down and triggered or stuck or heavy or lethargic, that kind of work like that I've done in improv comedy, which whether you ever do it or not, you can apply these lessons to your life of just being present, just being spontaneous, of just being truthful. What makes the improv comedy work is that truthfulness. What makes us laugh is that truthfulness. Like, jokes don't really work if they're not true. If there's not some level of like reality or groundedness in them, if they're just totally random and made up, and like, that can work sometimes. But generally, there's the saying like, it's funny because it's true. And things that are true tend to bring more humor, more vitality, more of like the positive energy of Sun and Jupiter being together is this like playful, funny, happy kind of energy. But when it's this close in the combustion range for a month here, it can be a little more like that Jupiter energy is overshadowed, and you might not feel as hopeful and optimistic and expansive as you'd like. You might have some doubts, some insecurities. You might have these opportunities to see where the ego has taken hold and taken control and thinks that it's in control and needs to be reminded to not control so much. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, the section that says, we have the right to our work, but not to the fruits of our work. So it's not about what we can control and controlling the outcome and having all the answers or being perfect, but finding what we love to do for the sake of doing it. Like, I love doing these podcasts. I love sharing this wisdom with you. What do you love to do? And if you had all the time, all the money in the world, what would you spend your time doing? And if you aren't doing that now, or even if you are, what is this next step that you could take? This next step outside of your comfort zone. And in doing that, you will likely find more hope, more optimism, more invigoration. And then in seeing others around you do it, if you can be in a place where others around you are also doing that, you can bring more of this hope, optimism, expansion, growth, possibility, even in the combustion, even in the challenge of it. The growth might look like slowing down. The growth might look like stopping. The growth might look like not growing. And that actually is part of the process. Like, for example, in the winter, if you need to cut back your plants and it looks like you're cutting them and killing them, but you're actually just in that phase of the season where it's time to cut them back. So the next time the spring comes around, you can let them grow. They'll be able to grow more. But if they tried to maintain all of that growth through the winter, they would have died. And they need to contract and expand. They need both. Sometimes what is actually growing in the long run looks like loss in the short term. And with Jupiter combust here, we can have that kind of perspective at times where it might look like it's loss. It might look like it's letting go. It might look like an ending, but that might be in the bigger picture part of the cycle. And if we are anything as humans, we are patterns, we are cycles. The universe is cycles, it's orbits of planets, predictable orbits that we can easily know where Jupiter is going to be in a year, or 5 years, or 15 years, or 500 years because of that consistent orbit. We can know how, on average, how many times we're going to breathe every day, how many times we're going to blink, how many hours we're going to sleep for the average person. How long the average lifespan is. All of these things, it's just patterns that we can recognize and observe and know that there's going to be gain, there's going to be loss, there's going to be expansion, there's going to be contraction. And part of the dance of life is going with those energies, working with those energies, allowing for those energies of expansion, contraction, combustion. Non-combustion. Most of the time, it's not combustion, but it's only when Jupiter and Sun are together, which is once a year. So it's about a month every year this happens with this Jupiter combustion energy. And here it is now for us to work with. And what we can do is explore those edges of our comfort zone, where the vitality is, where the juice in life is, where the possibilities are, and where it's time to let go of things, to let go of control, where it's time to be more creative. And find new ways of doing things, and where it can help to have others that you look to listen to talk to gain inspiration. Because the hopefulness, the optimism may be a little bit lessened during this time. And then in the mainstream media, we'll see a lot of validation of that. And that's often how it works. The fear and disgust are the easiest emotions to manipulate. So that's often what mainstream media is manipulating, fear and disgust. No matter what your political perspectives, fear and disgust. And that is not Jupiter energy. That is more Saturn kind of energy. And Saturn's been so dominant for a long time now. But this Jupiter energy, when we can work with that, we can choose how to respond to all these energies. And when we see other people who have hope and optimism, we can be inspired by that and choose to focus on those kind of connections, those kind of influences. And those can ripple out into the kind of work that we do, and then we get to be an influence to others and a channel to others. And that's where life is just so magical and beautiful. And we are all social creatures, and life is all about human interaction and connections. And I could not be here without the person who made my microphone and the internet service provider who allows you to find this podcast. And we forget how interconnected we all are all the time. Because modern Western society is so much about the individual and really isolating a lot of us, but we are always deeply, deeply interconnected. And quantum physics shows us that, and just common sense shows us that. So, by you finding what inspires you and the people who lift you up and light you up, and then you doing the things that lift you up and light you up, stepping outside your comfort zone, sharing your gifts, sharing your passion, your love. You get to inspire and lift up others, and they can continue to do the same for others. And this is a beautiful, virtuous cycle where we're all inspiring each other, lifting each other up, creating more hope and optimism in the world. And I want to create a world like that, a world where that is how we choose to engage and interact with each other. Not react to fear, not feed the fears. We acknowledge the fears, we address them, we connect with them, we listen to them, we go into them. And if that comes up over the next month, if you feel that the lack of hope, the lack of optimism, I encourage you to go into it, to fully feel it, to be present with it. And even if it helps, to do things that draw it out more, like therapy or journaling or watching a sad movie or listening to a sad song, to go fully into that contraction and not try to bypass it, not try to make it wrong, but to go into that contraction because it is part of the cycle of breath. Of the heartbeat, of waking and sleeping, of all aspects of life, of nature, of the seasons. There is expansion and contraction. There is gain and loss. There is all of this polarity in the universe. And if we resist it, it's actually just not even possible. Like, we could pretend it's not there. We could try to fight it, but it'll just show up in some other sideways way. Like, you try to be all love and light, but then you end up being passive aggressive or manipulative or all these things. You see this a lot in spiritual communities where people disown the darkness and just try to chase the light. They can end up embodying the darkness in unconscious and subconscious ways that are always still there. So I encourage you to go into it, to explore it, to listen to it. And if you feel down, if you feel contracted, that's okay. And to have that time for yourself. We are not machines. We are not robots. Like, we're not just going to be productive producers in the economy all the time. We need also to rest and relax. We need to just lay down, to just be in the sun, to just watch something for fun, to just play, just to be ourselves, just be at times. And this transit will help you see where that is blocked or where that's limited. And every year this happens, we can look at it from that perspective and know that we need that time every year to be, to slow down, to remember, to notice where we've become attached to growth, attached to hopefulness and optimism, and allow ourselves to be down if we need to be contracted if we need to, or to find support if that will be helpful, and to find opportunities to share what we love, to do what we love, and know that will help others. And we're not attached to the outcome. We don't do it necessarily for that. We do it for the love of it, and that love creates more love in the universe. And that's a really amazing thing that we get to do, whatever way that you do it in your life. So that is just the one transit, the March 27th until April 26th, 2023. Jupiter combusts with the Sun, and that is every year again. That happens every year for about a month, so it's not the most unusual transit. I didn't even talk about how it's in Pisces. So Pisces even more so aligns with a lot of what I said there. But the Pisces energy is a lot to do with loss and letting go and surrender to what is no longer serving, as I've been talking about. But also specifically, it's a great time to listen to your dreams and connect with your imagination and dream big. Create your visions of what you'd like to create in your life. And that can be a positive use of this energy as well and bring more hopefulness to this work. Then the transits for the rest of the week are all on Friday. So there are moon transits all the time. There's other smaller, minor transits all the time. But the next ones of note this week are on Friday, March 31st, when Mercury goes into Ashwini for 8 days. It also goes into Aries that same day. So it goes into the sign of Aries and into the nakshatra of Ashwini. It'll be in Aries for 2 months because of retrogrades. And it'll be in Ashwini just for 8 days, this part of the cycle. And also on Friday, Sun will be in Revati for 14 days in Pisces. So let's talk about what this means and how you can work with this. So Mercury, the planet of communication, the messenger, the information technology, devices, technology, all this kind of things. And Ashwini, this horse energy, you think of like a horse, it's powerful, driven, focused, it can lead the charge. Mercury here in our communication and business can be a time of starting new things in our business. If there is something you've been wanting to learn about improving your communication or learning a new language or learning a way of speaking, it inspires you that this is a time to do that. New beginnings, innovation, also healing. Ashwini represents healing. So healing related to maybe having difficult conversations that you need to have, or conversations to start a new thing that you feel inspired about. It's a great time for pursuing new ideas, new projects, embracing change and transformation in your life, supporting what I said before with the Jupiter combustion. And also, you want to engage in activities that promote physical, emotional, and spiritual healing, in particular, things using the voice like mantras. Or the breath, like breath work, can be incredibly healing at this time. And if you're looking for practices, mantras, and breath work, you can check out the Quiet Mind Yoga membership over at quietmind.yoga. I got lots of classes there, hundreds of classes, all styles, and including lots of pranayama and meditation practices. But any sort of pranayama, any sort of mantra is very useful with this energy. And being in Aries, as I talked about at the beginning of the month, it's a dynamic, assertive energy that emphasizes taking bold action over this 2 months. And there will be a time where it's retrograde and we go back over things, review things, slow down a little bit. But overall, it's a time for huge potential in business. And then even more so when we get to late April, when Jupiter is in Aries. That will be a huge time for new beginnings, new possibilities in your life. And then on Friday, March 31st, as well, Sun in Revati for 14 days. Revati is the final of the 27 nakshatras. Ashwini is the first. So there's this energy this month and this week and going into April of endings and beginnings, letting go of the past, creating space for the future. And with Sun in Revati, Sun, as I talked about today, is the vitality, your authority, your power, your creativity. And then Revati is this wise, caring, benevolent energy. It's very much drawn to service to others and humanitarian causes and what will be in best service to others, as well as wisdom and the accumulation of knowledge and wisdom, like the accumulation of going through all the nakshatras to arrive at Revati, where you have this energy around what you've learned and what insights you've gained and finding power in that. It's a good time to tie up some loose ends and create some sense of closure and achievement in different areas of your life. You want to look where Pisces is in your chart to know this. If you don't have your free chart, go to quietmindastrology.com/freebirthchart. Look where the number 12 is in that house, and you can imagine the sun is there for 30 days and these 2 weeks in Revati. So listen to the or watch the free training that I have with the free chart, and that will help explain that more. But that's how you look at transits. And so, of course, I go way deeper into this inside of the mentorship program, quietmindastrology.com/mentorship. But Sun in Revati is a time for celebrating the insights you've gained, the wisdom you've earned, the gray hairs you may have earned, the long nose hairs you may have earned. And this sort of understanding of like what you've gained, how you've grown, the vitality you've gained, and there can be a lot of creativity in your imagination. So like dreaming of what you want to create in your life, what brings you energy, what inspires you. Listen to your dreams. Again, as I mentioned earlier today, that the dreams may have profound insights for you, and the dreams speak in symbols, and astrology is understanding these cycles and patterns of universe. And our dreams show us where the patterns are playing out for us individually. The things that come up in our dreams are often like these deep-rooted patterns or these deep unconscious things that we want to understand better or process or analyze. And the dreams give us a symbolic sort of story because we are storytelling beings and animals as humans that give us a sense of meaning, and it gives helps us understand what we're going through on a symbolic level, which actually a lot of times can bring about a bigger change than just trying to work with things on a logical, linear level. When we get into the symbols and energy and intuition and emotion of things, that's where we really have power. That's where things can really change because we are really deeply connected to our essence. And it's not just like some idea or thought in our head. which with Mercury and Aries, you're probably going to have a lot of ideas and thoughts over the next month, next 2 months. And you can put that into action and creativity because Sun and Jupiter will be going to Aries next month as well. So right now, you might be having lots of ideas, lots of inspiration. That will become a lot more clear and practical and tangible as we go forward next month into April, where you'll be able to put all that those ideas into action. And the more you can sort of think step by step of like, okay, here I am now, what's the next step? And with Jupiter and Sun here in Pisces, the vision can be a lot clearer, and the idea of like where you're going, what you want to create in your life can become clearer. And then as we get to next month, the steps will become clearer and the step-by-step process. But right now, good time to listen to your dreams, connect with your intuition, your imagination. Let your mind wander a little bit. Like, what inspires you? What do you want to learn? What do you want to get deeper into? It could be these deeper understandings of the universe, like astrology, because of the 12th house, or the 12th energy of Pisces is similar to the 12th house, which represents foreign teachings and deeper understandings of spirituality. 12th house being the moksha house, the house of liberation, transcendence. There's this strong energy of like, what will bring you liberation? What will bring you freedom? How can you find your connection to your spirituality at this time? And what can you learn and study and research right now? And Mercury will be going back into Pisces later. So it's a great time for learning about spirituality and learning about different things that bring us moksha and liberation, like meditation, yoga, spirituality, transformative work, astrology, these kind of things, tarot, Reiki. Great time for these kind of studies. And hopefully this gives you some perspective and help in working with the energies of this week. If you'd like to get the free Become Your Own Astrologer training, go to quietmindastrology.com/mentorship and scroll down. You can watch the full training and learn more about the mentorship program, which is open this week only. I only have enrollment open for a week and then I close it so I can focus on serving everyone in the mentorship, which is what I love to do the most. And we'll have live weekly calls. You'll have lifetime access to this and all future trainings. I'll be telling you more about this later this week, but it is my most immersive, comprehensive life's work training of everything I have to share about astrology all in one place. And I take all the best books, all the best resources, and put them all in one place so you can easily reference them. All the new AI tools as well. So we're in these amazing technological breakthroughs. Some of them are very useful. Some of them are actually putting out wrong answers. So I help you know how to use those and not misuse them and not make mistakes with them. So you know what to look for. And within 4 months, you can very, very much be giving accurate readings with life-changing insights for other people and profoundly meaningful readings. Astrology is just so validating, so affirming, so clarifying of what we go through in our lives. There's nothing quite like it. And there's other great typologies, there's other great systems, but none of them really encompass your whole life and the phases of your life and all the big turning points. It's all there in your chart. And when you know how to read your chart, it's one of the most empowering tools you can have in life and one of the most transformational things you can share with other people. And I've been fortunate to watch people go through the mentorship and go on to be astrologers, give amazing readings, have regular clients, do amazing work in the world. It's such an honor, such a privilege to get to see that ripple effect. It's why I love to do this. I love to share this. And if you want to learn astrology in depth, know how to make accurate readings, and give transformational readings to others, then check out quietmindastrology.com/mentorship. If you feel inspired to join, I'd love to have you there. And enrollment is only open until this Friday at midnight Eastern Time. And then we start the next week going into the training. And you can get access right now to all of the past trainings. It's all there right now. So you don't even have to wait till we start this class next month or next week, but you can actually start going into all the on-demand trainings, hundreds of lessons, countless hours of trainings in there. So it's really cool, really comprehensive. All the resources you need, the PDFs, the worksheets, the spreadsheets that I've made, these custom-built spreadsheets I've made that really distill all of the wisdom of astrology all in one place, like all the best books, all the best YouTube videos, all the research I've done, all my 17 years of experience, it's all just distilled into that one main resource. So it's really cool. I love doing it. I love sharing it. Obviously, I get very passionate about it and lit up about it. So if you want to check it out, quietmindastrology.com/mentorship. And I'll be sharing more this week about it. And look forward to sharing more with you next time on the Quiet Mind Astrology Podcast.